Hi, I'm Carlos Sainz, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 735, September 10th, 2017. Nasser?
Gracias, Señor Rogers. I say funicoli, funicola, welcome to Parco Monza, where LCH gets 69 and Ferrari gets screwed.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, is it over for Ferrari? Mercedes is dialing up, and does Fernando control McLaren's destiny? Donations are accepted to keep these programs on the air. Just click on the donation tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you? Are you hunkering down and surviving the storm of the century?
Yes, sir, I am. And I hope to be reporting after the Singapore Grand Prix also. Thank you for your concern. Question of the day is, how much did you enjoy Parco Monza action?
For me, not so enjoyable, because I was hoping for a Ferrari 1-2 with Fernando in third place. But unfortunately, we got a LCH 69. The LCH fans are happy. And even with a rainy quali and an interesting front row, an interesting second row, I got nothing.
Yes, sir. More history in the making for Lewis Hamilton. Now he is the undisputed champion of pole position. The kid has come a long way since his first pole in Montreal in 2007. He is now one ahead of Schumacher, and by the time the season is over, he should be sitting pretty with 70-plus pole position. But, you know, the exciting part for me is, I have to say this, even though I like this driver very much because of his racing talents, Romain Grosjean is now the official moaner and wiener of Formula One. In qualifying, he was complaining of visibility before crashing out. Well, if you can't see anything, as he was saying, there is a thing called pit lane.
Yes, you could ask Niki Lauda about that.
Indeed.
So, no, he is a whiner. He's reminding me of Bourdais, and I'm very disappointed with somebody that turned out to be very quick when he was under Flavio Briatore. But now I don't know what's going on, but I think he'll be in the camper truck series very soon.
Very surprised about the pace of red cars in qualifying. Seb is quite the racer in the wet, like LCH. I think we all remember his maiden win at Monza in the Toro Rosso. Very impressive performance from Lance Stroll. Thanks to Red Bull penalties, he became the youngest front row starter in Formula One. And also a great effort from Esteban Ocon.
Yes, it was. I mean, finally Lance Stroll. And boy, what is up with Jacques Villeneuve?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know what his issue is. Now he is saying that... Are you referring to his comments about Kubica?
Kubica, Lance Stroll. I mean, he's now been officially told by Williams, do not come to our area. You are a menace to the Williams program.
And he made some comment recently about Kubica also, that he was surprised that he was given a test. And the comment he really made that got my attention was, socially, it was unbearable to deal with him when he was a test driver for Sauber and Jacques Villeneuve was the driver. That's quite a statement, huh?
Yeah, no, unbelievable. I don't know what's going on. And I was a big Jacques Villeneuve fan. You know that.
Yes, and the guy had a tremendous racer. You know, I have a lot of respect for what he did in racing, both in IndyCar and Formula One. But, you know, sometimes you have to watch your mouth.
Yes, I mean, I thought this guy had a proper upbringing, but boy, Gilles would not be happy with this. But it's very disappointing for a world champion to behave like that.
Yes, and I will not be surprised, you know, if other teams also tell him, you know, stay away. You know, he's a reporter for the Italian broadcast network Rai, and I saw him last year at in Austin. Boy, the lady who's working, the Natalie Pinkham of Rai, wow, muy caliente, I must say.
I believe it. I believe it. But no, it's disappointing, and Jacques Villeneuve will not be taken seriously anymore.
Yeah, you're right on that.
So please continue.
So, your thoughts on Quali, and what were you expecting from the race?
Well, to be honest with you, Quali, I thought was going to mix it up with Fernando maybe being on the second row. Something exciting. Stoffel van Dorn taking the Honda to the first row. But, I was happy for Ocon because, once again, he mocks and laughs at Perez after he got this. And Lance Stroll certainly had to put his stamp of authority on his season. And he did it in the rain with a great lap. And, of course, making history.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he is now in his first half of the first full season. He is really coming into his own. Just like, you know, in Formula 3, first year he was very quick, but very crash prone and erratic, but I think he and Esteban Ocon, they are the superstars of the future, no question about it in my mind.
I totally agree. The future with Kimi Raikkonen.
Yes, and you know, lately a news has come in that apparently Carlos Sainz has signed for Renault and may even race for them, according to ItaliaRacing.net. at Malaysia. And so it looks like by the time this podcast is published for global distribution and listening, it may be official from McLaren that they are switching to Renault, saying sayonara to Honda.
And I've been waiting and checking the news every day because in Italy, they met with the big wigs from Honda. They were supposed to make a decision that weekend, maybe then Monday, and yet here we are Sunday, and there's no decision on the Renault package. So I'm still not convinced they're going Renault, but I think Honda moving to Toro Rosso, if that is done, then for sure McLaren goes Renault. But it's I can't believe it, but I can understand why Renault would be happy to put a Renault in the back of the McLaren, because I think that'll propel them back up, at least fighting with Red Bull and maybe Ferrari.
Well, you know, that pretty much makes sure that Fernando Alonso will be fighting, if not for the front row, at least for the second row. And I cannot, with all the comments, you know, sometimes both Zach Brown and Mr. Hasegawa have said in the press conference that they do before each race weekend. And you can just tell by their, you know, how they are talking and trying not to hurt each other's feeling that they're, you know, the thrill is gone, to borrow a phrase from B.B. King.
Yes, and, you know, yeah, I agree. The thrill is gone.
Yeah, and we can even say the second line, baby, you've done me wrong. Someday you'll be sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, I just cannot see McLaren next season with both Honda and Fernando. One of them must go.
Yes, and the advantage is Renault knows Fernando. They have his previous maps for his engine style. So there would be an advantage to having Renault with Fernando at McLaren.
Yeah, and I think the world of motorsports, racing fans around the world, they deserve McLaren with something better package. And, you know, I would hate to see McLaren, Renault or Honda or any other manufacturer leave the sport. I would like to see BMW come back. But there's a thing called, you know, it's a very high echelon of performance you have to deliver, and in 3 years, I mean, if you cannot even get in it, if a driver of the caliber of Fernando Alonso is saying I finished 10th, it's like a Grand Prix win, I mean, you know, you got to go separate ways next season.
Absolutely. And right now FedEx won't sponsor McLaren.
Why is that?
No delivery.
That's very true. It's maybe, how about Amtrak?
Maybe Amtrak, yeah. They have a few derailments every once in a while.
Well, that's what the Cablamos are doing for Honda now.
Absolutely, Honda, powered by Amtrak. Keep up the good work, Nas.
Yes, sir. Okay, shall we talk about the race now?
The race with no rain. See, that's what I don't like. What's wrong with Italy?
Well, you know, I think rain or shine, the package LCH has, he has to be the favorite on any Sunday. And if it's raining, there's only one kid who can really bother him and beat him, and that's Sebastian Vettel. So with no rain on Sunday, it was going to be a walk in the park for Lewis. The only concern I had was the two whippersnappers right behind him on the grid. But as soon as Lewis got into the first turn, dent-free, writing was on the wall, or should I say on the Monza banking, and he was pretty much on his own for the 53-lap race. And the red scare, which I really thought, I predicted Sebastian will win the race in the previous podcast, they were not even a talking point during the race. Did that surprise you?
It did. I was stunned. I thought Ferrari would have something extra. Would, you know, I don't know, oil burn, do something. But I was very, very disappointed. It almost seemed like they shot themselves in the foot. They were unstable. They were nervous and seemed really uncharacteristically timid and uncomfortable in front of the Tifosi because of the great German threat.
You know, they did not even show the 6-10th advantage that a home race would bring. So that was very surprising. And Niki Lauda, not surprisingly, took some pride in post-race interview, saying Lewis was 36 seconds ahead of Sebastian at the end. That was nice. So he really enjoyed that spaghetti culture not making it happen.
Listen, they were laughing and giggling while they were eating schnitzel.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And victory was number 59 in the life and fast times of Mr. Lewis Hamilton. And you know, this is the first back-to-back win for any driver this season. So Lewis has made the most of the pre-Singapore predictions by the pundits that the street circuit will suit the Ferraris, and we shall see under the lights in 2 weeks. But I was really disappointed that, I mean, there was not even a fake threat from the Ferraris. I mean, I was not expecting Kimi to fight for the lead with Lewis Hamilton, but I expected Seb to, you know, at least come within a second or two. And this is the first back-to-back win for any driver this season. So Lewis has made the most of the pre-Singapore predictions by the pundits that the street circuit will suit the Ferrari. Victory was number 59 in the life and fast times of Mr. Lewis Hamilton. And interestingly, this is the first back-to-back win for any driver this season. So Lewis has made the most of the pre-Singapore prediction that Spa and Monza will suit Mercedes and Singapore will suit the Ferraris. And we shall see in under the lights in 2 weeks. But if Lewis somehow can win or finish ahead of Sebastian Vettel in Singapore, wow, that should be very, very exciting.
Yeah, if Ferrari can't put it back together with their shorter wheelbase and dominate Singapore, and the scary thing is Red Bull is going to be looking to dominate Singapore. So Ferrari needs a win in Singapore to get back into this championship fight.
Yeah, they have to, and this is the first time Lewis is now ahead of Sebastian. And Seb passed his teammate on lap 3, and of course all the talk now is, you know, as we said, Sebastian will be very strong in Singapore. He is really on his own. He cannot expect Kimi to take points from Lewis on a regular basis in what is left of the championship. And I would hate to see this fantastic battle decided on a Kablamo or 95 grid place penalty, only from the mind of FIA. So it's a crucial time for Sebastian in Singapore, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I was really impressed with the two young boys making history on the front and second row. Did not cause any accidents, kept it clean. That was very impressive.
No, both have done a very good job. And the way Lance Stroll is going, I don't think Williams need a Massa as a second driver. They can get another whippersnapper or, you know, maybe Jacques Villeneuve back as a driver and then see what he has to say. But Bottas made it a Mercedes 1-2 after three laps. The only match for Lewis in the rain, as we said, is Sebastian. And it was not a surprise that Bottas was not second on the grid, but he is now a very tasty second banana to Toto and Niki, who can play a very important part in his teammate winning the championship. I think his loyalty and commitment to Mercedes may be richly rewarded in the near future. just as it did for the man he replaced. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, but what about the Verstappen variable?
Well, he's locked in into the contract with Red Bull, and it has been asked many times from Christian Horner, and he has said that he, meaning Max Verstappen, does not have an escape clause in his contract like Sebastian did. And that was, of course, after Sebastian had won several world championships. So that's why they gave him that clause. So we're going to see whether he likes it or not. And we already know he does not. That Max Verstappen will be at Red Bull next year. But who knows? Renault may come back very strong with a powerful engine. And as long as he can fight for race wins and front rows, I don't think he's going to be in moan too much.
That's very true. But how do you think Red Bull is going to feel if Renault does go to McLaren?
They're not going to like it, but again, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
But I heard an interview in the pit lane for the Monza race, and they asked this question from Christian Horner, and he said, we can veto the deal, just like apparently he made a reference to Ron Dennis that some years back they had tried to get a Mercedes engine, and Ron Dennis had a veto on it and exercised that veto. But I don't think they will do that. I mean, there's a lot of things that are at stake here, you know, with all this Honda going to Toro Rosso, Carlos Sainz. A lot of people are, you know, making accommodation to make this happen. And, you know, Chase Carey and Liberty Media are helping all these parties because nobody wants to see Honda leave. And what's going to happen with Honda, they will pay a lot of money to Toro Rosso. And even if you have billions of dollars, people still love more money.
Yeah, and I think in the end, Honda is a better fit for Toro Rosso, so they can get that motor up to speed in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and after half a decade of hard work, if they get it going and it becomes a real, power threat, then you know Red Bull will be very happy to have them in the back of their machines.
Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, let's get back to the race. Of course, Daniel Ricciardo really was the man of the day.
He was man of the race, and of the machismo move that he made was fantastic. And, you know, I tell you, I was at Monza in 2007 at the same place. Another driver made that move, just the same way, smoking tires and passed Kimi Raikkonen late in the race, and that was Lewis Hamilton. So it brought back some fantastic memories for me. And this guy, you know, also known in racing circle as the Smiling Assassin, amazing performance, and this is pretty much his standard operating procedure now. And I have to say, as much as I admire Max Verstappen and his talent, there is something he can learn from Daniel, that you don't have to be fastest in every corner and every braking session and every braking spot and every lap. Sometimes you have to slow down to win races.
Very, very good point. Wow, that was very, very well said to Max Baby.
Yeah, you know, I read a long time ago, but they were talking about this, you know, Fangio's strategy reportedly was you win at the slowest possible speed. You know, you're preserving your car and, you know, a win is a win. And in the same magazine article I read that Jim Clark's policy was just the opposite. He was quoted as saying, murder them at the start. You know, if you take a 2 second lead, especially in this day and age, you know, it will have a big effect on guys running behind you. So different strokes for different folks. A win is still, you know, a win, and you get the max points. So, but it's I like a Gilles Villeneuve style, Max Verstappen style, gung-ho driving, you know. I mean, bring a car that's meant for fifth place to second place. It's like the Dijon Prenois 79? It's so old, I keep forgetting the year now. So, yeah, it's fantastic the way Danny goes.
Yeah, no, starting from 16th and finishing on the podium was outstanding. The move on Raikkonen was outstanding. And he was really, at the end, catching up with Sebastian Vettel. We just ran out of laps.
Yeah, that's not the first time it happened in Formula One. But, you know, he's going to be looking very strong. And, you know, there's normally a safety car in Singapore. Why am I thinking Nelson Piquet Jr.?
Ooh, so, bravo.
You know, I'm very surprised Singapore being right, you know, next door to Malaysia. that I don't recall ever seeing a rain race in Singapore. Have you?
No.
You
recall? No. Yeah.
I'm very surprised, but, you know, a safety start shortly after the start or not many laps left could play in the hands of Daniel Ricciardo.
Very, very true. Very, very, very true.
And I think Max Verstappen is going to be flying here in qualifying and in the race, and it's just a matter of if he can be flying and running when the race is over.
I agree. That's a good point. I think Mercedes will struggle a little bit for sure in Singapore, but because, you know, they had all of the advantages at Monza. Everything was stacked up in their favor.
Yes, sir. And Kimi Raikkonen, numero dos at Scuderia Ferrari, he was fifth after his usual grumbling on the team radio. According to him, after the race, he almost spun a couple of times and could not figure out what was wrong with the car. But a look at the points for two Ferrari drivers will shed some light on where the issue might be. Sebastian, 235. Kimi Raikkonen, 138. Sad but true.
But a good number two is a good number two.
Yeah, especially when you're fighting. But the number, a good number two is one who can take points from your competitor, your challenger for the championship. And for that, Kimi, I think, is maybe number three.
It's possible, but the package is not helping.
That is very true. That is very true. So we hope they can be competitive in Singapore, and we have a real ding-dong of this championship till the lights go out in Yas Marina. Now, let's tell a few words about Force India. No civil war on the track and both cars on the point. Apparently, threat of benching one of the drivers has done what Tok Tok could not do. Obviously, we talked about, I think Sergio Perez is now really feeling the heat that he does not want from his teammate.
I completely agree. I think the cage has been rattled.
Yeah, and you know, interestingly, last 2 years, he had pretty much, if I can say, upper hand on Nico Hülkenberg. But for sure, he was not feeling heat from Nico Hülkenberg. But now, Chef Boyardee has entered the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah, and Esteban was sixth, which is very impressive. And, you know, he is lamenting that he did not get the podium because that's his goal for the year. But whether he gets a podium or not, he really has stamped his authority in Formula One that he belongs there, just like Lance Stroll is doing and just like Sergio has done over the years. Esteban, like Pascal Wehrlein, is part of Toto's Wolfpack and is definitely headed for a great F1 career. The kid does not come from backgrounds such as Nico Rosberg or Lance Stroll, but winning both European F3 and GP3 in rookie seasons got him to F1, courtesy of FFSA, the French Racing Federation, and the deep Deutschmark pockets of Mercedes. Your thoughts on your homeboy?
No, I'm glad. France needed a driver in F1, and it's been a while. You know, I mean, if he's given a great package, top team, I mean, I could see him going to Ferrari maybe in 2019. I don't know. I mean, there's so many ifs. Leclerc, you got Lance, you've got Lando Norris coming through the ranks pretty soon. So things are moving rapidly now with talent.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And not all these talent will sustain themselves in Formula One. We have seen a lot of heavy-duty items coming into Formula One, and for one reason or another, struggling and fading away very quickly. But Lance Stroll was seventh at Monza. He became the youngest front-row starter in F1 history, beating the previous record set by Max Verstappen at Spa last year by 23 days. But despite this achievement, he was never expected to threaten LCH for the lead or the win. But he drove a smart and fast race, did not make any boneheaded moves, and brought the Williams home in seventh place, just ahead of his much more experienced teammate. And according to Lance, towards the end of the race, he had a big flat spot that allowed Massa to close in. But I was kind of surprised how Massa was ganging up on him in the closing, because, you know, there was no way Lance was going to let him go. And so I was kind of surprised that on the final lap they would be doing this and risking. They were doing what Force India drivers have been doing all season long.
I agree. And Williams was really surprised at their pace at Monza. But let's face it, they have the Mercedes package. So I don't know why they seem to be surprised and put off by maybe their aero package doing so well.
Yeah, and Massa was eighth. Interesting to see what Williams will do with his seat. Of course, they will be keeping the Mercedes engines, like you said. But nothing against Felipe, but I would like to see Oliver Rowland with Williams next year in place of Massa. Rowland won the 2015 World Series by Renault in dominating fashion, and right now he is contracted to Renault. And this year is running second to Charles Leclerc in Formula 2 and has an outside chance of winning the championship, which I think will not happen. At the moment, like I said, he is with Renault, and we will see how it moves on. You know, the thing about this Renault has deep pockets from the parent company, obviously, Renault F1 team, that is. But I think, you know, moving forward when the current Concorde agreement expires or whatever the new iteration is called, I think best way to achieve parity between teams in terms of performance is to have a reasonable distribution of F1 revenue, so smaller teams can, you know, hire better people, do more R&D and whatever they need the money for. And with Chase Carey and Ross Brawn, we have people with common sense who will hopefully do the right thing for the sport.
I agree. I think Chase is doing a good job. I think Liberty is going to definitely free up some cash. And, I mean, Ferrari's always going to get a big chunk, even if they're last. But that's because of historical reasons. But in the end, some of the smaller teams, like Sauber, who announced that they're going to be hiring another 100 people for their staff, maybe they've already been spoken to by Liberty, and that's going to definitely help other teams be a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, that's what the sport needs. And Sergio Perez was 9. Interestingly, his money, I think he's in the right place for his talent. His money men reportedly are also shopping around for the best deal for Checo, as he's called in his inner circles. I think there is too much heat for him from the French kitchen on the other side of the garage, coming from, you know, Esteban Ocon. And I hope he stays there, because this is a good place, and I would like to see him, how he will go against Esteban next season and not, you know, be a magnet for each other. And I can see a silver streak in Esteban's future, especially when LCH moves on to party 24/7 with Beyonce and Bieber.
The Bieber word is not allowed on this program.
Okay, but Justin.
Just call him JB.
JB, well, that's Jensen Button.
Whoa!
Yeah. And Max, you know, was once again victim in the opening lap, this time of his own making, or he can blame Massa for it. He picked up the final point from his 10th place. And I think Max is just too quick for himself. And if his teammate can bring the car in top five, Max should be able to do that also, especially on days when he is not having technical issues, or in Ferrari language, no issues with Mahle piston or Magneti Marelli electronics.
I don't know why. It's interesting because Max can out-qualify his teammate, but in race trim, I think Ricciardo has the maturity and the patience, like you said, know how to take care of the car through the race.
Yeah, and the double DNF for McLaren Honda. What else is new? The answer could be Renault in the back of McLaren. This may be confirmed by the team by the time this podcast is published. And I would hate to see, like I said, Honda or any other manufacturer leave Formula One. But if McLaren is to continue with them, they might as well put a new logo on the car, the Prancing Pig. This way, when he is complaining, the team radio can radio him, squeal like a pig, wee. And I think this will go down very well with Nando.
Oh, yes. Lando, a big fan of the Deep South.
No, he has a new friend, and the name is Jolyon Palmer. You know, he called the five-second penalty on Jolyon Palmer as a joke, and after missing him for many laughs, Nando, this was classic, you know. He asked about his team, what happened to Palmer, and I was very surprised watching the race live. Why would he even worry about it when he's nowhere near him? And when told he had retired from the race, Nando could only say one word, karma.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was very beautiful.
That was very beautiful. You know, Fernando, if he's not winning, at least he's profound.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying these quotes like, you know, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing. And all of, and you know, that Sebastian, when he crashed, I think it was in Russia, all about crash, what are we doing here? These are moments to remember, you know. We will talk about these one-liners like we talk about Dijon Prenois 79, you know, 10, 20 years from now.
Let's hope so, Nas.
Yes, sir. F1 Weekly will continue and carry on. We're not going down like Titanic.
No, we're already interviewing our replacements.
Yes, exactly. And they just cannot sign up because they just don't know what they will do with all this money they will make.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're getting scared by the check.
So beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I have news for your hero and your Dios, Nando. If McLaren does not get Renault engines, he will know what karma is all about.
LCH is, you know, if he stays at Mercedes, and which I'm sure he will, with this kind of package and dominance from Mercedes, and with Ferrari not being able to capitalize while they were leading the championship, it's going to be another championship for LCH. He's going to have more records. I mean, he is going to dominate unless somebody takes care of this business. And that's why, you know, with McLaren and the Renault package, and Renault has come out and said they are working night and day, 24/7 in Viry-Châtillon to bring up dependability, reliability, and speed. And the Renault package next season could be the one to watch.
Well, that used to be their logo when they were selling cars here in the U.S.
Thank you very much, Nasser.
Yes, and they packed up and sold the business to Chrysler.
Beautiful.
Okay, I have my final word is the race was over in like 1 hour, 15 minutes. And that to me is a Formula One race. You know, I hope to save the world and, you know, whatever they want to do. I think they should have a cap on races for 90 minutes. And that's more than enough. And we don't need to see same car leading around the houses and fancy harbor for 2 hours. 90 minutes max.
I don't know about 90 minutes max, but I like Formula One, so I will watch all the races no matter how long they last. But Singapore is going to be interesting to see who steps up to the plate because this is a very different circuit. It's a night circuit. I think you can't predict Singapore because it's a draw between the short wheelbase Ferrari, Red Bull, and this is also where Verstappen has a chance of winning Singapore. So we'll see what happens, but we need to keep LCH at bay, and we haven't seen a failure yet from Ferrari or Mercedes. That could be in the cards. And what does Fernando say? Karma.
Well, you know, DNF, we've talked about this few races ago also. I think if one of them has a DNF, for whatever reason, engine kablamo, or you're getting hit by Max Verstappen or whatever, I think that will, because chances are, if one of them has a DNF, 99% sure the other party will win the race. And at this stage of the game, it's going to be very hard to recover 23, 24 point deficit, just because there are not too many races left. And I would hate to see that happen. I think this championship, regardless of who wins in Singapore, is going to go to the final race. And, you know, we'll see what happens. It's turning out to be a fantastic season, especially the combatants are from two different teams. So it's fantastic. So it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And I certainly hope Ferrari can continue to fight. I mean, we'll see. But, man, boy, did Mercedes crush. I mean, it was down goes Ferrari.
Yeah, they were, I mean, they was very, very dominating, like they were not even in the game, which really surprised me. I was expecting something from Seb, but, you know, like Nicky said, 30 seconds, I mean, he was shuttling, you know, 36 seconds down. That was good.
Yes, yes. It was Joe Frazier all over again.
Yeah, very impressive, I must say.
So anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Thinking of a career in Formula One? Already have a motorsports job, but thinking about jumping into F1? Our team at Motorsports Career Advisor recently finalized the results of our interviews with several top motorsports recruiters and has compiled them into our 2017 Motorsports Resource Guide called The Number One Recruiter-Tested Method to Landing the Interview for Your Dream Job in F1. If you've heard our radio spots before, maybe you don't know that up to 1,000 action-oriented motorsports enthusiasts contact us every month to get our guides. But it was our motorsports recruiter partners that challenged us to go even further. And here's what they convinced us to do. For a limited time, we're giving away a pre-release sample of our 2017 resource guide, the number one recruiter-tested method to landing the interview for your dream job in F1. Get yours now at F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com. F1 is extremely competitive. Be the first to see the guide and jump ahead of your job competition. Go to F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com now for the 2017 pre-release before the countdown expires, and you'll get a sneak peek at a guide that others will soon pay to receive. That's F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We shall start with Formula One's little baby sister, Formula 2, previously known as GP2. Very exciting feature race on Saturday, and I will highly recommend if somebody wants to see a fantastic motor race. Quite a bit of harem-scarem in the last two laps. Nyck de Vries and Charles Leclerc cost each other victory at Monza. When it was over, we had an Italian job on the podium. Luca Giotto winning the race and Antonio Fuoco in second. Nobuharu Matsushita was third man on the podium. After the race, Luca was given a five-second penalty, which handed the race win to Fuoco. Giotto got his revenge in Sunday's sprint race, taking victory over Brazilian Sergio Sette Câmara with Fuoco third. Charles Leclerc leads the championship with 218 points. Oliver Rowland is second on 159 points. Two rounds remain in the season, one at Jerez next month, and then the finale at Yas Marina in Abu Dhabi, same weekend as Formula One. Once again, you know, I would recommend, if people have not seen this, it's available on YouTube. The race was very, very exciting, both the sprint race and the feature race on Saturday. Now we go to baby sister of GP2, Formula 2, which right now is known as GP3. They are talking about that this series will merge with Formula 3, European Formula 3, and then they will, you know, have this Formula 3, 2, and 1 back as it used to be in the 70s. Back to GP3 at Monza, they had one race on Sunday as Saturday's race was cancelled due to rain. The race on Sunday was a wild affair, cars colliding and crashing from the opening lap to the final. Winner was George Russell. He extends his lead in the championship, and every now and then you can see him standing next to Toto and Nicky as he is in the Mercedes driver development program. Russell leads the championship with 162 points. Fellow English driver Jack Aitken is second on 119 points. Now we go to IndyCar racing from a fantastic track, once home of the U.S. Grand Prix, Watkins Glen. Alexander Rossi was the winner from pole position, his first win in the series since winning the Indy 500 as a rookie last year. He will stay with Andretti Autosports for 2018, and they will also stay with Honda Power. There was a lot of rumors that Andretti team might go to Chevrolet, but now they're going to stick with Honda. Let's just hope they don't get the virus from their Honda sibling in F1. But, you know, talking of Nando, they're saying that once Honda leaves McLaren, the last engine he will have in IndyCar racing, he meaning Nando, would be Honda. So, well, you know, karma may come back to bite him someday, but we shall see. Indy Lights, this championship has been decided, and the new champion is from Santa Clara, pretty much the home of F1 Weekly's corporate offices, at, of course, Santa Clara, California. Kyle Kaiser, seventh place finish was all he needed to clinch the title. Race winner was Aaron Tielitz from Wisconsin, and we interviewed Aaron in the season opener at St. Petersburg, which he won. Formula 3.5 V8, previously known as World Series by Renault, both races at Hermanos Rodriguez Autodromo in Mexico City were won by Emerson Fittipaldi's grandson Pietro Fittipaldi. He now leads the championship. World Endurance Championship, they were also in Mexico City. The six-hour race was a 1-2 for Porsche. Winning drivers were Timo Bernard, Earl Bamber, and Brandon Hartley. Hartley's name is being linked with the move to IndyCar racing with Chip Ganassi, where they already have a Kiwi driver, fantastic Kiwi driver, I should say, in Scott Dixon. Okay, this is interesting. Subway sponsorship doomed by donuts. Subway has canceled their sponsorship with Joe Gibbs Racing. All this due to a Dunkin' Donuts segment that featured their driver Daniel Suarez last month on NBC Sports. This segment featured Suarez and NBC host Rutledge Wood cruising through the New Hampshire Motor Speedway campgrounds, meeting fans and handing out donuts. And Subway was pissed off because they also have a breakfast menu. It's amazing how these things go.
Amazing how Subway is so sensitive. But on the other hand, they're the biggest franchise business in the world, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct. Subway sandwiches are everywhere. Okay, sir, now we come to Goodie Bag. Before we get into Goodie Bag, you have some information from this past weekend on DTN?
I do. Luckily for Robert Wickens, he wins at the Nürburgring, and it's a 1-2-4 Mercedes-AMG. We've heard that before, but the championship remains wide open with Ekstrom extending his points lead. And it looked like it was a fantastic weekend with 78,000 spectators in the Eiffel Mountains. So very good. I'm glad the race was very, very exciting. And they had rain. They had a little bit of everything. So DTM is doing well. Unfortunately, one of the manufacturers will be pulling out at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's Mercedes. They will pull out at the end of 2018. And you earlier mentioned Lando Norris. This kid is an incredible racing talent. This past weekend, the F3 is also racing European F3 at Nürburgring along with DTM, and Lando Norris won the opening race. So he's now has a he was down like 20, 30 points at one stage. He now has like a 35 point lead in the championship, and of course, winning F3 Euro series in your rookie season is very, very impressive. And I will not be surprised to see him in a McLaren in the year or two. Okay, so shall we now start the goodie bag with a side order of gelato?
Absolutely. Let me get the spoons.
There you go. Only two Grand Prix have featured each and every year since the start of the Formula One Championship in 1950, and not surprisingly, they are British and Italian. Located in a large royal park, Autodromo Nazionale di Monza has seen more F1 races than any other track. In fact, all Italian Grand Prix have been held at Monza, except for 1980, which was at Imola, San Marino, of course, Imola, San Marino, and won by Nelson Pepito Piquet. Over the years, it has seen some great triumphs and tragedies. Three drivers were killed in 1933 during qualifying heat for the Italian Grand Prix. Most famous of these was Giuseppe Campari, very big name from that era. 1950, first championship Grand Prix at Monza, won by Fangio for Alfa Romeo. 1951, Alberto Ascari is first local yokel to win a championship Grand Prix at Monza, driving for Enzo. 1953, Harry Schell becomes the first American to finish in the top 10 in the Italian Grand Prix. He came in ninth in his Gordini. Fangio was the winner in his Maserati. Today's Curva Ascari is named after the 1952-53 world champion, Alberto Ascari, who was killed at that location while testing in 1955. 1956, English driver Peter Collins from Kidderminster hands over his Ferrari to teammate Fangio, who had retired from the race. Fangio would go on to finish second behind Stirling Moss in his Maserati, but his second place finish would give the Argentine legend his fourth championship. So very impressive act by Peter Collins to hand over his car to. Interestingly, you know, there was another Ferrari in the race driven by an Italian driver. He was ordered to, pit and give his car to Fangio, and he refused.
Of course, so, Italiano, bravo.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Okay, then we go to 1958. Phil Hill becomes first American to get on the Monza podium by finishing third in his Ferrari. Race winner was Tony Brooks in a Van Wall. 1960, this was a real historic day in Parco Monza. Apart from 1-2 for Phil Hill and Richie Ginther, both from Southern California, it was the last Grand Prix success for a front-engine car and first for Phil. Phil Hill, that is, of course. 1961, tragedy returns. Jim Clark collided with Wolfgang von Trips Ferrari, resulting in death of German driver and several spectators. Phil Hill won the race for Ferrari and with it the championship. Dan Birney was second in his Porsche. Jackie Stewart's first Grand Prix success came here in 1965, and 4 years later, his first championship was secured here after an intense battle in his Matra Cosworth with Lotus 49 of friend and Geneva neighbor Jochen Rindt. 1986, Italian Ludovico Scarfiotti won in a Ferrari. Last all-Italian combo win at Monza, and much-missed Michele Alboreto came very close to doing the thing in 1988 when Senna crashed with Schumacher, but Alboreto could not pass his teammate Gerhard Berger for the win at Monza. 1970, this is when Jochen Rindt lost his life in crash, and unfortunately, it was Ronnie Peterson who died of his injuries after the opening lap crash in 1978 at Monza. And of course, we already mentioned 1988, Jean-Louis Schlesser drives in his only F1 race, and what an impact he made when he collided with Senna's McLaren in the closing stages of the Italian Grand Prix, denying McLaren the immaculate season. There you have a brief goodie bag with a side order of gelato of Gran Premio d'Italia.
Bravo, bravo, grazie, mille grazie.
Prego.
So keep up the good work, Nas. Another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. So let's think about Singapore. What will Fernando say that's going to be profound in Singapore, Nasser?
I don't know what he will say, but that is one thing he will not say. He's not going to say, my car is so slow, I feel like crashing it into the wall.
Whoa. Nelson Piquet Jr.?
The spirit of Nelson Piquet Jr. returns.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. That spirit will never leave us, but Singapore is an interesting race. I'm sort of surprised it's still on the calendar, but what the hell?
Apparently, they have decided not to renew the contract whenever it's finishing this year or next year. But I'm told by people who have been to Singapore, it's obviously very hot and muggy. But apparently, the food is spicy and very delicious and very cheap.
Really? Just don't throw your cigarette butts on the ground.
Yes. No, you're really gum. Otherwise, you'll get lashes.
Poor Arriva Bene. So, what's going to happen? I mean, you think Arriva Bene got a good talking to? Marchionne was not very, very contente.
No, Sergio Marchionne was not very happy. But who knows, Sebastian might restore the order in Singapore. I would like to see both of them, you know, and if they're going to finish, they're going to finish on the podium. But I want to see a good fight, and let's see what happens.
You think Kimi will get a win this year?
I still think so.
Wow. And I think Fernando will get a win this year.
Yeah. Every time he closes and dreams of a Grand Prix, he's the winner. And I think you do the same thing.
That's very true. Always bravoing, but never a real bravo. So
yeah, but you know, as far as Kimi's win is concerned, you know, I think is that if Sebastian is in the race, and even if he's leading, then something will happen that he will not win that race. For him to win now in the second stage of the season, Seb has to be a DNF so he can win on his own if he can. If both Ferraris are running in the race, it's crucial for him to play the, you know, good teammate, which he is.
I agree. We'll see what happens. But it is what it is. So just quickly, I want to mention to everybody that you are in Tampa still and you're getting ready to evacuate. What is your situation with the hurricane coming along?
Well, I am getting ready to embrace Miss Irma, not with open arms, but hunkered down in my place of residence. It's a little too late to leave right now. What happened, it was not 20, a day before it was supposed to be on the outskirts of Tampa, but now it has changed direction. So it's going to be passing in full force through Tampa. Hopefully, the fury will be less by the time it gets here, but we shall see. And as I said, I hope to be alive and reporting on the Grand Prix of Singapore next weekend.
Excellent. And just in case, make sure that you write your will and you know, I'll take the Camry. What the hell?
There you go.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, Nas. I hope everybody stays safe in Florida. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Oh.
is not for his brother, man. Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about? Right on. You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Well, we can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Chef.